All right. We are in Titus. Wasn't sure if we were supposed to do it, but now I know that we are supposed to do it. God is really speaking, and it's really current with where we're at. We talked last week about who is Paul, who is Titus, who is God, who is Jesus, who are you? And that's what we talked about last week. Is very good. Now we are in verse 5. Titus is a condensed version of 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, or 1 and 2 Timothy, really. It covers a lot of the same things, but it's more condensed. We talked last week about how Timothy was young. He was inhibitioned. He needed encouragement to stand strong, be bold, be a soldier. Titus, a little bit more mature, doesn't need all that encouragement, but it's kind of straight to the point, right? Paul's like, do this, do this, do this. And here we're going to start to get to it. But tonight is... where's Tristan? Where did we lose Tristan to? He might be going to the bathroom. Okay. Tonight is the night where we talk about the qualifications of a bishop and elder. And I was really struggling because I like to do short chunks, and it just wasn't working. God wouldn't let me just do a short chunk. He made me go all the way to the end of chapter 1. So we're going to do 5 through 16 qualifications of bishops, and then we're going to talk about the Cretans and how that is, how it's really contrasted. It's like black and white. Totally, totally different. So, Lord, speak to our hearts and do encourage us and discipline us and scold us if you need to, Lord, and we're open to what you'd have. In Jesus' name, amen. There is just so much here that I had to help us out with some text here. Let's start reading. For this reason, I left you in Crete. Well, we could spend the whole night on this, really. But going through this the first time, I missed this. But for this reason, I left you in Crete. God has a purpose for your life. God has a specific purpose for your life. God is leaving you in a place right now. God is leaving you in a situation for a specific purpose. This is not easy. But why can't I go somewhere else? Why can't I be something else? Why can't I... No. I'm asking those same questions, so I'm with you there. God has a reason. If I may use Rosanna's example, tonight she's like, I'm going to California, I'm going to Florida, we got to get out of here. But she prayed, and God said, no, you're here for a reason, you're here for a purpose. And he's starting to bring the people that she's going to minister right to her doorstep. She has a purpose here. We all have a purpose. You are left where you're at for a purpose. We are at my mom's house for a purpose. It's surely not easy, but we are there for a purpose, and God's speaking to us. It's very current. What is your purpose? We could also go the other extreme. I don't know what my purpose is. God hasn't spoke to me. I don't know. Ask. You don't know what your purpose is. Ask the Lord. He's going to clearly show you. Ask believing, and he will show you. For this reason, he was left at Crete. We learned that Titus went to the Corinthians. Why couldn't he go to Corinth? He loved those guys. These guys are a lot harder to deal with. He was trying to get out of there. He was trying to go to Corinth. He went there a second time on his own accord. No, all joking aside, God has left us here for a specific purpose. Why did... we can go to the next one. Why did Paul leave Titus in Crete? Here we read in verse 5, you should set in order the things that are lacking. The church should be run in order. Appoint elders in every city. We need some leadership here in all the churches, in every city, as I commanded you. Stop the mouths of the Cretans. We're going to read that in verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. We're going to get into that. Rebuke them sharply, it says in 13. And then do not give heed to Jewish fables, verse 14, and the commandments of men. That's why Paul left Crete. Paul left Titus in Crete to fulfill these purposes. What's your purpose? If you don't know, ask God. He will show you. That's for sure. Verse 6. We start going in the qualifications of a bishop, of an elder, someone who's called. I had a meeting this week for a position, and my bosses are going to write a job description. And this is basically what this is. It's a job description for an elder, where it tells what qualifications do you have to have for this job. You know, you have to have a bachelor's degree in civil engineering, and you have to have 4 years experience in traffic management, and you have to have worked at that would be something my job qualifications. But this, it's not an easy job, and there is a lot of qualifications. It starts in the home, and it works outward into social life, into work. It applies in all areas of our life. This really speaks to me. I'm a children's youth pastor. Jason, how does it speak to us all? Go to the next one. It's your choice. This is how it speaks to us all. This can be applied to us all. Men, women, children, this applies to us all. What he's going to describe is a very good man. A very good man. A very good man. And then he describes the Cretans who were not so good men. So, you could get with this, or you could get with that. That's supposed to be that. You could get with this, you could get with that. As my good friend KJ52 said, you could get with this, or you could get with that. You could get with this, you could get with that. You could get with this, because this is where it is. Okay? And he says, Jesus is where it's at. It's your choice. Do you want to be a godly man? Do you want to be a good, godly woman? Do you want to make it? Do you want to do what God has called you to do? Do you want to be all that God has for you? Do you have dreams? Do you have visions of what God has called you to do? Or do you not? Do you want to fall? Do you want to be in sin? Do you want to be like the Cretans? We're going to get into it. It's your choice. God gives us, he has a purpose for, he has a perfect plan and purpose for your life. That's God's part. We've talked about the balance of God's part and now our part. What are you going to do with it? Okay, this is, it makes me think of Proverbs 31 for the women. If you guys, we're not going to look at it tonight, but women, if you want to look at Proverbs 31, is that, you know, do you want that? Is that what you want? Men, here, it's right here. Is this what you want? What do you want to be when you grow up? This will tell you what a good man looks like. All right? And, you know, we talked about this when we went through Jude, and I said, well, there's warnings, and it's a lot stronger than this. This is a choice. It's up to you. All right. Let's go to the next slide. It starts in the home. This is where it's at. And this is very current for my life. The husband of blameless, you know, it got me there. I wanted to close my Bible there. I was done. I was like, okay, you got it, Lord. No. When we're in the Spirit, we can be blameless. When we walk in the Spirit. The husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation, not accused of insubordination. Dissipation, what are all these big words? This is also where it speaks to us. Especially, we're all children, right? Some of us younger than others, but we're all children. How are we supposed to act? Dissipation. King James Version says riot or unruly. Are you riotous or unruly? We don't want to be wild. I looked these words up, and now it's all confused in my head. I didn't write it down, but it really means, like, unsavedness. Like, you're unsaved, like you don't know God. Are you acting like someone that doesn't know God? I mean, this tells us what it is. Like, you're not even saved. Insubordination, not following rules or commandments that your parents give you. This is a tough one here. God's going to tell... Paul tells us like it is. God's surely going to lay it on the carpet here. Keep going. So it starts in the home. You got to have your house in order. It says if you can't have your house in order, how are you going to shepherd or oversee the house of God? Then it goes into, it says, blameless again as a steward of God, as a manager of what God has given you. God has given you certain things. How are you managing that? And then it gives all these knots. Not self-willed. It's kind of selfish, the opposite of love, or that you're not yielded to God. I always struggled with the yield sign, and I'm a traffic person. I don't know how I'm struggling with it, but I always struggled with yield. What does yield mean? I don't get it. Yield to God, the yield sign. I don't know what to do. I never do it right. I finally get it. You pause to see. You slow down, pause to see if other traffic is coming, and then you, if nothing is coming, then you can go, right? But if traffic is coming, you got to stop to be safe. It's kind of how it is with God. As you yield to God, does he have a direction he wants us to go? Does he want us to turn here? Does he want us to go straight? You know, if he gives us the permission to go straight, then we go. It's just a yielding and a slowing down to God. Okay. Not quick-tempered, patient, not given to wine, sober, not violent, self-controlled, not greedy for money, trusting God. I wrote out the opposite of these because it's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. If you it's kind of just walking in the Spirit. It's not all that intimidating when you look at it that way. Okay, what's next? Wait, there's more. Let's keep reading in the Bible. This is all in the Bible. We're pulling it out. That was verse 7. That's all verse 7. Verse 8, hospitable. These are things to be hospitable. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Okay, these are things we should be now. Lover of what is good, just, holy, self-controlled, sober-minded, to always be having your mind engaged on things that are right, things that are good. On the way to work, I struggle with this, with falling asleep on the way to work. And I need to be accountable for it. A friend called this morning, Joyson called, and he got my mind engaged and sober and self, you know, sober my mind, sober-minded. And we had a great conversation. But to remain sober, we've talked a lot about this. Satan's after us. Let's keep going. We got a lot more to talk about. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now this is, all of these, this is really the only thing that's like in church, right? This last part, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught. But everything, it all comes into play. What your house is like is going to be transferred to how you act at the church. It's just a rule of what God has set up. Exhort. I looked it up in Thessalonians, and it really means to come alongside and to come near. And God really showed that me with my children. If I'm yelling at them, stop doing that, from across the room, it's not effective. But if you come alongside them and say, look at them in the eye, what are you doing? So men, this is a hard one for us. You know, are we willing to come alongside, get a little intimate, get a little personal with our fellow man, with people that are under us, and to come alongside, get a little close and let down some of our walls and allow God to move so that we can exhort. That's what exhort means, to come close and come near. So, is this what you want to be when you grow up? Is this what you want to choose? Is this what Is this where you're heading? Or is it this? Those who contradict. They're always arguing. Go ahead. Insubordinate. Idle talkers. Let's read this. So I'm just pulling this from the scripture here. For there are many insubordinate, verse 10, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Deceivers. They seem holy up front. They put on their church face, but they're deceiving people in the background. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, who change the direction of a whole house, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. They're out for money. Let's keep going. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. All right, is this us? Is this where we're going? Do we lie about stupid things? Do we lie about the little things? We're going to lie in the big things. Evil beasts. Just really don't have any conscience. Don't listen to what God's telling us. Just live based on our passions. And gluttons. Are we lazy about work? And man, this is God's telling us like it is here. God's revealing our sin here. Speaking to me. This testimony is true. Don't let anyone tell you different. This is true. Therefore, Paul was there. He knows. He visited there. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. Here's another characteristic. Who turn from the truth. This is a scary one. You know the truth, and you consciously turn away from it. It's a scary one. 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They're defiled and they're unbelieving. Their mind is defiled and their conscience is defiled. Seared with a hot iron, I heard on the radio this week. Is your conscience seared with a hot iron where you don't feel it anymore? You don't listen because you can't even feel it. You can't feel what's going on. It's burned. It's numb. This is sad. I have a confession. This week I was talking to a coworker, and I said something in passing, and he's like, "Oh," he turned it really nasty, and it was sad because I knew what he was talking about, and this speaks to me. You know, I've been defiled, and my mind has been defiled, and so I knew what he was talking about. It was really distasteful, and so God really showed it to me, and I confess. You know, and we go on, and we move towards what is pure, and what is good, and what is right. But when you're in that pure state, then it's even those defiled things can't touch you, because you're focused on what is pure. Verse 16. And this one, I'm not done with that one yet. This is so hard in today's culture. I mean, we're at my mom's house and she has the TV on. And it's like, I cannot watch 30 seconds of TV without being defiled. It is very scary. And that's not even mentioning the internet. This is scary. We have to be careful with this. Not legalistic. We don't want to go there. This is what they're talking about, commandments of men, not make this big rule for ourselves, but turn towards Jesus, turn towards what is pure, turn towards what is right, and we won't be defiled. All right. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. God can't use them to do good things. And we're going to talk more about good works in the next coming chapters. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 talk about good works and how the church is to be about good, doing good. But those, the Cretans, those who are against God and who are not following what God has, they're disqualified. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him. In Timothy it said, denying the power of God. They know God, but they deny its power. denying that the Holy Spirit is working, that the Holy Spirit is real. So, it's black and white. Now, I was going to, but I didn't have time. You can see, going back to the qualifications of bishop elder, you can see why they need to be qualified in all this if they're going to be dealing with all of this. Okay, let's draw some lines here.
Okay, if they have their children in order, they can deal with the insubordinate others. You know, what else? Try to draw some lines. Here's one. You know, we're trying to teach not to be... Wait a minute. This one, out for dishonest gain. You know, we can't have an elder being out for dishonest gain if that's what we're trying to contradict and trying to teach against. So there's a lot of qualifications that make sense why
you need to be qualified. You know, going back to my work, you know, you have to have so much experience in traffic management. If you have an accident, what do? You get out your camera, you put your sign out, you do all this, you call the police. You got to know what to do, and that comes by experience. You got to be qualified, and that's what God has for us. But as it relates to us all, go ahead, the next one. There is a purpose. God has a purpose for your life, but it's your choice. All right? Next. You should get with this, because this is where it is. All right, the song KJ52. I wish we had it. I don't. Do you guys have it? Do you have KJ52? Do you guys have it? It was the second time I saw Sarah. We went to a KJ52 concert, and we were all going like this. He was saying, "Do, do, do. You could get with this. You could get with that. You could get with this, but get with this because this is where it is. Get with Jesus. Stay close to Jesus." Trust in Jesus. Desire to be like him. Yielded to the Spirit of God. And these things will come. It's going to take some time. It's not overnight. But God can do it in overnight. That's for sure. God can forgive our sin. If we're heading in the Cretan's way, watch out. Beware. Turn towards the truth. And it's your choice. So, that's all I have. We're going to go on into chapter 2, that it's going to talk to each individual age group, and it gets really good. So, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for this strong word. We thank you that it speaks to us, it speaks to me, and I do confess, Lord, and I pray that just make me pure, make me holy, and I do desire to be used and to be qualified for every good work, Lord, and for us all. Lord, if we're struggling to head towards what is wrong, help us go towards what is right, Lord, and only by your help, by your Spirit. Remind us and show us, Lord, what our purpose is. If we don't know, if we're confused, show us what our purpose is. You have a purpose for us here. You have left us here in this position for a purpose. Continue to reveal that and speak to us as we seek you make it clear. Give us the strength to fulfill our call that you called us here to. We give you the glory for all this and what you're doing and how you're speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.